Good morning. It's good to be able to stand before you this morning to spend some time in God's Word. And we're glad that you're here. As has already been announced, we appreciate those especially that are visiting with us, and we hope that you will come back. I'm sure there are some here today who are here in honor of their mothers and coming together as family, and that's always a good thing. I'm going to have some more things to say about mothers this evening, so you have to come back for that. We're going to talk about an Old Testament wife and mother named Abigail this evening and her wisdom and her great understanding. And I'll have some more comments to say then, but just to briefly mention this morning, it is an honor to be in the presence of many godly mothers today, and you are truly blessed and honored for the hard work that you do. I think a lot of times motherhood is underrated today, and we need to put it back on the pedestal that it deserves, the God-honored position that it deserves. So you're to be blessed this morning, and I'm glad to be in your presence. I'm glad to have had a godly mother myself, and I know you are blessed as well by having godly mothers and being godly mothers. In the scripture reading, 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells us, in effect, that we are to stand out. And this morning, we're going to go back to an Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, if you'll turn back there with me. In a lesson that I've entitled, Fitting In or Standing Out. An age-old problem for God's people has been, are we going to fit in and go along with the world, or are we going to stand out? In the scripture reading, Peter says that we are to show forth the excellencies of God. We're to shine like a light in the midst of a dark world. We're to let our good works be seen among others so that they can glorify God. We're to shine. We're to stand out. And there are different places in the Word of God where we're reminded of that. And I want to use 1 Samuel this morning as our text to encourage us to stand out and not just simply go along and fit in. And it's not just something for the younger people. We're going to see in this morning's lesson that we're talking about adults. Adults have the problem of whether or not they're going to fit in or stand out. Certainly our young people are pressured along those lines, but adults can be pressured as well for a number of reasons, and we'll talk about some of those this morning. I want to encourage us to stand out, as Peter says, to show forth God, to be different in that regard. When we think about fitting in or standing out, different individuals come to our mind. Of course, we know about Daniel and his friends in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's an idol that is built there, and many people there in Babylon are bowing down to that idol. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, we're not going to do that. Going to stand out and be different. They're thrown in the fiery furnace and miraculously saved. We're not just going to go along with what everybody else is doing. Everybody's bowing down. When the music is starting to be played, everybody's bowing down. But there's these three Hebrews over here who won't do that. We're very familiar with the story of Daniel and his friends. And there's always going to be that challenge. We could turn to the New Testament and be reminded of Peter. And in Luke chapter 22, where he is sitting there warming his hands by the fire, and there are those who keep pushing him and prompting him, are you one of the followers of Jesus? And three times he denies the Lord. I know not the man. He had a problem on that occasion. Do I fit in? Which he was wanting to do. I just want to fit in. I want to blend in. In one of the accounts, one of the individuals says to Peter, your speech
betrays you. Even when we try to fit in, something's not right there. And even when we try to fit in and go along, even people in the world sometimes recognize that we're different. But Peter's just trying to blend in. And then he regrets that. And he goes out later when the Lord looks at him there in Luke 22 and he wept bitterly. At the moment it seems like the right thing to do. At the moment it seems like the thing to do to save our hide, so to speak, or to be accepted. But later when we come to grips with reality, we realize we've done the wrong thing there. We live in a world, brethren, where I want us to be reminded of the importance of standing out and standing for truth. And we're going to use 1 Samuel to do that. We've been studying that in our adult Bible class. I would encourage you to come and be a part of our great Bible classes. And I want to use 1 Samuel because that may not be a section of Scripture that we normally think of with regard to fitting in or standing out. So we're going to use that book this morning to illustrate some of that. As parents and as godly mothers, as we think about Mother's Day and mothers raising up their children in the right way, as parents, we need to be teaching our children to stand out, to be a faithful Christian and be different and follow truth. Peter had that same problem in Galatians chapter 2. When some Jews showed up, he wanted to make it look like he wasn't associating with these Gentiles and he acted hypocritically. He just wanted to fit in and blend in. And Paul rebukes him for it. I withstood him to his face, Paul said. You walk not uprightly according to the truth. There are times when we need to stand out and stand for truth. I can think of some areas where we're challenged. We're challenged with this in the area of worldliness and immorality. Those who claim to be Christians, you'll find that they're engaged in the same kind of thing that's going on out in the world. They're drinking just like everybody else is drinking. And gambling and profanity and dancing and immodest apparel. And many will do that to fit in. I'm with my buddies, I'm with my friends, I'm with my classmates, and I'm just going to roll with them and do what they're doing. Sexual immorality and other kinds of things. Brethren, some brethren have a challenge with this and they're just wanting to fit in. And with the area of social media and those types of things, we just simply want to say and post and this and that. The way the rest of the world is doing it. So we have that challenge and we see that some people are failing that. They're just simply wanting to fit in. Another area that comes to my mind, and I've mentioned this before in different lessons. In fact, a couple of weeks ago in a lesson on 1 Samuel 8, Give Us a King, I started back in 1850 and just briefly went through the history of the Lord's Church in America since about 1850 and how different times, starting with instrumental music and all the way up to women preachers and a host of other things in between, where brethren have been tempted just, well, let's just fit in with the rest of the denominational world. Now, during that time, there's always a faithful remnant. There are brethren who stick with Bible truth, but there are others who just simply want to fit in. So let's just go ahead and fit in with instrumental music and women preachers and elders and deacons. And back in the 1980s and 1990s, baptism is no longer necessary for remission of sins and a host of other things. Social and recreational things and gymnasiums and hospitals and schools and camps. Why? We're not getting that from the Bible. We're getting it from other religious entities. And what are they doing? I want to be like them. So we see that brethren are challenged in this area with regard to worldliness, and number two, with regard to just going along and being like the denominations around us. And then, we find that brethren are challenged with just different human philosophies that are being promoted, not only in schools of higher education, but in other areas of our society. What man thinks about this and what man thinks about that, and let's just go along and fit in. Many years ago it was evolution, now it's that, plus a host of other isms. And we find ourselves just wanting to fit in, just wanting to blend in. It's a constant challenge, brethren, that we have to be mindful of. This morning from 1 Samuel, I want us to be reminded that we can truly stand out if we want to. You know, fitting in can actually be good. You know, God makes a number of animals and insects and different animals in the animal kingdom that blend in and fit in. There are birds and other animals that fit into their environment. Insects and small animals that blend right into their background. The little tree frog that looks exactly like the tree. And that's a good thing. They're not eaten by their predators and their enemies. But if we're talking about fitting in the sense of following the world and not God's word, that's a bad thing. And we've got to resist that temptation, and we can do that. You know, standing out can be good or bad. If we're talking about standing out just simply to be different, there are people who will do things to their body just to get attention. There will be people who will dress and do things to their body just to get attention. They will say and do and act in ways of getting attention. They want to stand out. We're not talking about that this morning. We're not talking about standing out to get attention. We're not talking about standing out to say, hey, look at me. We're talking about in the good sense of standing for truth and what is right. I've been there. I've experienced the pressure of fitting in. I've been in high school. I've been there. I've been in the high school level, in the college level, and I've been in the environments where I was the only Christian in the room with other worldly people. I've been there. Maybe you've been there. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. And there were a few times I'm ashamed to say that in my younger Christian years, I chose to fit in rather than to stand out. And I hope that I've learned my lesson from that. And I say that for our young people who hear me this morning, I want you to understand that I appreciate the challenge of that. I know that firsthand. But as we get older and as we mature and as we grow, we need to learn the principle to be willing to stand out. We don't want to be like Peter, who has to go out and regret that later and weep bitterly that I just denied my Lord three times. We're given these stories in the Word of God so that we can avoid those same things. Turning now to 1 Samuel chapter 2, let's take a survey of some of the accounts and the stories that are found here for our admonition this morning. First of all, I want to suggest this morning in our lesson some examples of individuals who were just simply striving to fit in. One that comes to my mind, in fact, I'm going to describe the first part of 1 Samuel, chapters 1 through 16, as those who were trying to fit in, and then in chapters 17 through 31, those individuals who were trying to stand out. So let's begin in the first part of the book. There are some examples of individuals who are just simply striving to fit in. And the ones that come to my mind are Eli's sons, if you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Eli is the priest and he has some wicked sons. These individuals are simply trying to fit in like the Canaanite world around them. They're described as base fellows, worthless fellows. They're ungodly, they're wicked, they're sinful. They were doing a number of things wrong with regard to the sacrifices and what portion was allowed to them. I want to skip over that part and come down to verse 22. Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how that they lay with the women that did service at the door of the tent of meeting. So they're engaged in sexual immorality right there at the tabernacle. Now, where did they get that from? They didn't get that from the law of Moses. They got that from the Canaanite world around them. What is this? It's just simply trying to fit in. Here's the sons of a priest. They're supposed to be godly. They're supposed to be separate. They're supposed to be holy. They're supposed to be teaching the people the Word of God. And here they are just blending right in with the Canaanite world around them. We're supposed to be priests. In fact, the scripture reading this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, Christopher started there in verse 9, we're a holy priesthood. If you go back to verse 5, the same thing is said there. We're supposed to be God's priests today. We're to be holy and separate and engaged in godly living. This verse, 22, involves sexual immorality. But it could be a host of other worldly kinds of things. Eli's sons were just simply wanting to fit in and be like the world. Verse 23, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all this people. The word gets out. You're not helping yourselves. You're not helping anybody else. They see the hypocrisy. And so what you have is this attempt to fit in, and you're having a good time, but it's evil and wicked, and you're hypocritical. And it's not what God wants. As a result, in this chapter and in the next chapter, Eli is told that he and his family are going to be judged. And they are. Fitting in, or standing out. I think of Israel in chapter 8, if you'll turn with me there. I mentioned a few weeks ago a lesson on give us a king. Here's another example in the first part of Samuel of just fitting in. The Israelites realize that Samuel is getting old, and his sons are not walking in the right way. Verse 3, they're taking bribes, they're perverting justice. They're doing the same thing that Eli's sons were. What were they doing? Just fitting in. Why? Because the world takes bribes and the world perverts justice. Everybody does that. Come on now. Take a little money under the table. Who cares? Everybody does that. Everybody cheats. Everybody steals. Everybody's dishonest, like at work. So 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 3, they realize that Samuel is getting old and these sons of his, they're worthless as well. Give us a king, but then here is the clincher, like all the nations around us. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations, verse 5 and verse 20. Not give us a king after God's own heart, not give us a king on God's time frame and the king that God would choose. I want a king like everybody else. I want to fit in. And he's going to go out and win our battles for us. Not God, who had been doing that many, many years. God had been winning battles for them. But we don't need God anymore. This king will win our battles. Just give us something like everybody else. And so they wanted to be like the world in their desires. We find it easy to just fit in. And we're not going to be dissuaded. In chapter 8, if you read verses 10 through 17, Samuel tells them all the problems that they're going to have when they have this king. Oh, when we want to fit in, we're not dissuaded at all. No good sound reason will help us. Parents can talk to their kids and other situations and nothing. We just want to fit in. We want to fit in. We want to fit in. That's what's on our mind. Someone can point out the consequences of that. Someone can point out the problems with that. But no, we got our mind on one thing. Give us a king. We don't ask, is it biblical? We don't ask, is it scriptural? We don't ask, is this what the Lord wants, what the Lord desires? We just want to fit in. And so we find another example in 1 Samuel of this fitting in mentality. It's always been a challenge among God's people. If you come with me to chapter 13, we find another example of this. Saul was like the world and just simply wanted to fit in and give in to peer pressure. That's what the world does. We just give in to peer pressure. And he was not supposed to offer up a sacrifice in 1 Samuel chapter 13. He was supposed to wait and let Samuel do that, and he chooses not to, and his excuse is, because I saw the people that were scattered from me. The Philistines had assembled against them in battle. And the people are scattered from me, and you came not within the days appointed, and the Philistines assembled themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, I said, now will the Philistines come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not entreated the favor of Jehovah. I forced myself, therefore, and offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said, you have done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of Jehovah thy God, which he commanded thee. And the kingdom is going to be taken away from him. In chapter 15, when Saul was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites, this king that they just couldn't wait to get, he does not follow the word of God, and we know the account. And he does the same thing when he does not utterly destroy the Amalekites. In verse 15, the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. He caves to this fitting in mentality of just offering up excuses. And, oh, the people. The people made me do it. The devil made me do it. That's so common today. I hear it everywhere. People will not take accountability for their actions. They won't take responsibility for their actions. They're always blaming somebody else. Maybe you have a coworker like that. They won't man up to what they've done. Oh, this person did this and that person did that. All that is the mentality of just fitting into the world around me. It's a world of excuse making and blaming and not taking responsibility. Verse 21, the people took the spoil. Verse 24, I feared the people. It just keeps coming up, doesn't it? The people. Saul was like the world in caving to peer pressure. Turn with me to chapter 16. Saul was like the world in his spirituality. He slowly declined and left God, so God left him. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. If you refuse to have God in your knowledge, he will refuse to have you in his knowledge. And so Saul slowly declines, and he doesn't want to obey God. And after two well-proven incidences, we find in chapter 16 and verse 14 that the Spirit of Jehovah departed from Saul. His spirituality is on the decline, and that's what we find in the world today. He's just like the world like that. I want to do what I want. I forced myself, chapter 13.
Right.
I forced myself. No, we're doing what we want. We don't want to follow God's word and God's way and God's will. And when God sees that, and there's proven instances in our life that we don't want God, chapter 13, chapter 15, God takes his spirit from Saul, and an evil spirit takes its place. We will be filled with something, brethren. Our heart will be filled with something. In John chapter 13, it says that Satan entered into Judas. Why? Because Judas had given him that place. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 4, give no place to the devil. Someone is going to fill us. It's either God and his word or the devil. Someone's going to fill us. It's either going to be good or bad. And you know, Saul is just like the world in his spirituality. Slowly moving away from God and being filled with all kinds of evil. There may be a young person in this country that has heard about God. Maybe they were taken to church at a young age, or maybe somebody gave them a Bible, and they're young and they're kind of introduced to God and church and things like that. And they have a little bit of that in their life growing up, but as they get older and make their own choices and they get out on their own, they just slowly move away. And they're filled with evil.
And it troubled him. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. All it is trouble. It never helps anyone. It always hurts them. Fitting in. So whether it's Eli's sons or Israel desiring a king or Saul, we find these examples in 1 Samuel of just simply wanting to fit in. But in contrast to that, turn with me to chapter 17. I want to end this morning on a positive note. I want to turn now to the suggestion that we can be better. We can be different. We don't have to be like this. We don't have to have the attitude that I'm just going to be like the world around me. We can be and must be different. And I want to start with David in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and the childhood Bible story that many of us learned growing up, and that is David slaying Goliath. Do you know what that is? That's not just a young man killing a giant. It's that and much more. What it is this first example this morning of someone who's willing to stand out. Not because of his looks. Not because of his physical stature. He was smaller than Goliath. But because of his attitude. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 32. When he shows up, David said to Saul, this is the king, this is a young man telling a king the right thing. It should be the other way around. It's a young man telling the king, what's he saying? Let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now that is standing out. When he comes down there to the valley of Elah, his own brethren are in fear. And by that I mean physical brethren. His older brothers don't want to fight this guy. Israel doesn't want to fight this guy. Saul doesn't want to fight this guy. He shows up and he stands out. Let me fight him. We need to be like that. Everybody hanging back in fear. Everybody cowering, everybody letting this uncircumcised man not just simply brag, but he's defying God. He's blaspheming God. And everybody's just standing around, oh, okay, what can you do? He comes down there, he starts asking questions. The first thing that he did to stand out, read in your Bible in chapter 17, about verse 23 and following, verse 22 and following, he goes down and he starts asking questions. What's going on here? That right there shows that he's wanting to stand out. I want to get involved. I want to know what's going on here. Well, we got this guy over here defying us. Well, then let me take a whack at him. Brethren, we need to stand out. We need to do that at school. We need to do that at work. We need to do that in our communities. We're not going to just stand around and cower in fear. What can you do? He gets his bag of shepherd's items there. He gets his sling and his five smooth stones. And he goes out there and he kills the giant. Someone sent me a YouTube video recently of an Old Testament scholar who was talking in one of these TED programs. I'm not sure if you've seen these or not. TED Talks. The TED Talks. These are for scholars. Many of them are in these environments of scholars like Stanford University or some prestigious school. And they'll have these TED Talks. Well, he was given one of these TED Talks about how David killed Goliath. I won't go through the whole thing, but he was making the point that Goliath, because he was so tall,
He had this acroism, which is a height deformity, that people that are really tall, their brains don't develop very well. He said that Goliath couldn't see very well and he couldn't walk very well. And he was trying to make that case. So David could easily kill this guy. He can't see and he can't walk very well. He said that's why he had his armor bearer walking in front of him, because he couldn't see very well. And they claim to be scholars. But anyway, that's how David killed this guy. He suffered from... He was just dumb. No. No, you don't send a dumb guy out to be your champion. This was a serious warrior. And David's faith in God and a host of other things allowed him to kill this giant. He stood out. And we need to do the same. 1 Corinthians 16:13. We need to act like men. We need to watch. We need to stand fast. We need to act like men. And we need to fight spiritually the things that come into our life. And we need to be different. What a great example this young man is. You know, when I read in this portion of the book, I also read about Jonathan. Turn with me to chapter 18. Jonathan stood out. He was not like his father. His father Saul, after David killed Goliath, his father Saul turned to envy and jealousy. He didn't like David, and so he begins to try to kill David. Jonathan stands out. I'm not going to be like my father. And this is one of several examples in 1 Samuel where Jonathan makes a covenant and a pact with David. Verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 3, Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan from this point on begins to protect David and work with David. I'm not going to be like my father. I'm not going to let envy and jealousy eat me up. I put Galatians 5, 22 and 23 here, the fruit of the Spirit. In a world that is eaten up with the works of the flesh, we need the fruit of the Spirit. We need love instead of war and hate. We need joy instead of depression. We need peace, and Don has been singing about that this morning, to have peace and not worry. We need long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness instead of a short-temperedness and doing people wrong and evil and unfaithfulness. We need meekness and self-control rather than pride and being out of control. Jonathan said, I'm not going to be like my father. I'm going to have love and joy and peace and long-suffering. I'm going to be a godly Israelite. I'm not going to let petty envy and jealousy eat me up. And you'll see that in the world today. You may have co-workers and other individuals that you know that are eaten up by the petty works of the flesh. We need to walk on a higher plane than that and stand out and be different. Along those same lines, as you move through 1 Samuel, you find that Saul is trying to kill David on a number of occasions, and David is not like Saul in his character. David is not going to return evil for evil. I'm not going to put forth my hand and slay the Lord's anointed. On two different occasions, 24:10 and 26:11, when David could have done that. He's not going to listen to the advice of those around him who encourage him to kill Saul. He's not going to do that. I'm going to stand out. I'm going to be different. And yet today it's all about what do my friends want me to do, and what would the world do? Whatever happened to what would Jesus do? Remember that? WWJD? What would Jesus do? But today it's, well, what would the world do, and what would my friends want me to do? So David, Romans 12, 17 through 21, is just simply going to give place for the wrath of God. Let God take care of the evil in our lives. And not just simply let God do His work, but when we make contact with individuals who are mistreating us, we are going to do good unto them. And we're going to return for evil, we're going to return good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. It's not simply, I'm not going to do him harm, but objectively and positively, I'm actually going to do good to him. And there's a quotation there from the proverb, you'll heap coals of fire upon his head, meaning you will burn into his conscience. You'll get him to think about what he's doing. That's the way you get people to change, by doing good to them. And it burns in their conscience. But if we just simply return evil for evil, we've stooped to their level. We've got to stand out and be different. And we find David doing that same thing. One last example, if you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 28. As we come down toward the close of Saul's life, he's going to go into this battle with the Philistines and he's going to take his own life. And before he does that, he wants to get some counsel. God has already left him. And so what he does is he goes to a banned individual. He had banned all of the witches and familiar spirits and wizards out of the land, 1 Samuel 28 and verse 3. And so he says, let me go find one of those that I've put away. Verse 7, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. He's completely turned away from God. And he goes to a necromancer, someone who claims to speak to the dead. He's at the bottom of his spiritual journey away from God. He's sunk so low that he's gone to the witch of Endor to get counsel. Unlike that, David, throughout his life, continues to rely upon God. He strengthens himself in the Lord. He writes many of the Psalms during this period of his life. He continues to pray. He continues to point out God's will and what God would want, the Lord's anointed, and so forth. And in Romans chapter 8, using Paul's words, he chooses to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So this morning, the question I ask is, are we fitting in or are we standing out? In the various walks of life that you have, from young to old, are you striving to fit in or are you striving to stand out? Jesus said, stand out. There is a broad way, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, that leads to destruction, and many are following that way. But there is a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few are following that way. Stand out. Be on that narrow way. It's harder, yes, but it's the way that leads to eternal life. Paul said, stand out. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul said, stand out. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Paul said, to stand out. James said to stand out. That friendship with the world is enmity with God. James said stand out. Peter said to stand out. And that's the scripture reading that we had today. And there are going to be those fleshly lusts which war against the soul, 1 Peter 2:12. But abstain from those things. He said we can do it so that we can live right and be an example to the world around us. Clarksville needs an example. And it's Christians, it's us showing the light to a dark and perverse generation or in Nashville, or wherever you live. Peter said stand out. And you know what? John said stand out. All of them do. They all say the same thing. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they are not of the Father, but they are of the world. Don't be in love with that. And so this morning, we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. Maybe you need to stand out this morning by coming and responding to the gospel. Others around you would not do that. That's not what they want. But you stand out and be different. And as we leave this morning, I want us to be encouraged to be like that David in going to battle with Goliath, or Jonathan, or how David acted in response to Saul. Stand out and be different. Anybody can go along and fit in. That takes really little effort. But stand out and follow God's word. If we can help you to do that this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?